Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be with you here this Wednesday morning, January 29th. All kinds of neat things happening in the Old Pueblo. Lots of last-minute finishes out there over the course of this week. You know, I always like to talk just a wee bit of sports, and we had the opportunity to go to the Tucson Roadrunners game on Friday night. I don't often get an opportunity to go to these weekend games as a restaurateur. You can imagine that Fridays and Saturdays are a luxury not often afforded to us. And so I missed the Monday and Tuesday game earlier last week, felt bad, found a way to sneak out to that Friday game, and the Roadrunners ended up losing to the Abbotsford Canucks on a last-second goal with 21 seconds left in the third period, a real heartbreaker. But what made me happy was that there were thousands and thousands of fans there. It must have been 4,000 individuals there at that Roadrunners game, which was so neat to see. As somebody that often only makes the Tuesday games or Sunday games, sometimes the population can be a little light, and it was amazing to see so many Tucsonans out there supporting their local team. Now, we had some other last-minute heroics for those of you who got to stay up late Monday night at the McHale Center watching Caleb Love drain a shot from just past half court to tie the game, send it in overtime, and beat number 3 Iowa State in the last seconds over there in a real thriller and an amazing game for the Arizona Wildcats. So often in life, it all comes down to the last seconds, right? How you perform in those last seconds, whether it's on the ice, or whether it's on the court, or even in the restaurant business, sometimes how you drop that check, how you present that final bit of service really makes a huge difference. I can remember one of the only times I was ever stiffed in my entire career as a waiter, not receiving a tip. It was from table 205 in Breckenridge Brewery, 1996, and I forgot to bring them their check for about 7 or 8 minutes. And I realized suddenly that they had asked for it. And in the middle of grabbing sides of ranch and a few craft beers, I somehow forgot to bring them that check quickly. And I ended up getting a 0% tip. It still haunts me. 31 years later, I still remember that screw up. In the same way that servers or bartenders often have some sort of server nightmare about forgetting to bring that side of ketchup to table 6 somewhere. And I think about that mistake that I made. I also think about how we can ruin service experiences by not providing that check in a timely manner. One thing that I've begun to see getting dropped on the bottom of checks that's been ruining my service experiences are charges for credit cards. It seems more and more the restaurant industry has taken to dropping a 2-3% fee on our customers for paying with a credit card. I'm seeing it on our purveyor side of things. When I buy produce, when I buy all kinds of food and beverage from our broadline purveyors, they're now charging me that percentage. And I'm seeing that percentage passed on and on to consumers. And I'm wondering if that's really the right thing or not for our industry. Is that really hospitality? Is that the thing you want to see on the bottom of your check? I'm just not so sure about that one. One other thing I don't really want to see on the bottom of my check is a sales tax increase. The battle for Proposition 414 is starting to heat up out there. You're probably seeing signs at most major intersections. A big yes and a big no sign are coming up. As we get close to Valentine's Day over here, every one of the City of Tucson residents is going to get just a little bit of a Valentine from mayor and council. No, that won't be a love letter. That's going to be a ballot for a special election that's coming up on March 11th. That election is going to ask to raise the City of Tucson sales tax by another 0.5 cent, which would essentially move our sales tax from 8.7% to 9.2%. There are big groups lining up on the pro side for this sales tax increase and on the con side. Interestingly enough, the City of Tucson seems to be using their resources to push the pro side for this ballot initiative. Not surprising, because they obviously, quite frankly, referred it to the ballot on a special election on a cost of over $1 million to City of Tucson residents. Mind you, we could have had this election, this ballot initiative, pop up on a November election that we were already going to do. You see, we'd have an election coming up in November for Wards 3, 5, and 6 either way. But the City of Tucson has chosen to spend over $1 million of the city's money to run this particular special election. as well the campaign manager for this particular pro campaign going on for this is Anna Marufo, a name you may recognize because she worked for both the city clerk's office and happened to be the campaign manager for Raheena Romero. She's running the Pro 414 campaign and actively managing that one. So it's safe to say there's not much of a distance between the city and the pro side in this campaign. The Tucson Agenda reported just yesterday that Kevin Dahl had to have a number of statements stricken from the YouTube video of the city council meeting where he had waxed eloquently about how he wanted the residents of Tucson to vote pro this particular campaign, which happens to be a violation of state laws. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how the city postures and sells this particular sales tax election to all of you residents of Tucson. Certainly something I'm not looking forward to at the bottom of my bill. On a more positive note, we've got a James Beard Award-winning finalist in Tucson's Jose Contreras from Amelia's Mexican Restaurant over here. They've got two locations, one in North Oracle and one on Grant Road. Super excited to see him as a semi-finalist. We had Don Guerra from Barrio Bread on a couple weeks ago, one of only three Tucsonans to ever win that James Beard Award. And so we're going to keep you posted here on Jump in Tucson on Mr. Contreras' progress through that one. Good luck, Chef. As well, on a bad news note, I have to announce the final closing of the remaining Fire Truck Brewing Company at Grant and Swan. They had their last day on Friday contracting their operations. Taylor Carter, the owner, has been a veteran of this particular show over here, and it certainly saddens me to see the closing of that restaurant. And finally, on Tucson Restaurant News, Marana developer Scott Steitler, you might know him from the AC Marriott Hub and Playground, has announced they're going to develop a 20-acre downtown section of Marana that's going to have a brewery. They're going to have a roping area and essentially create some sort of western facaded downtown center of Marana. Really interesting to see how that one is going to work out, particularly for Mr. Steitler, who has a history of working with Rio Nuevo and downtown funded developments. That same tax increment financing is not going to be available in Marana. So it's going to be interesting to see how those public sector dollars flow into Marana and make something happen over there. I do have to say that the Marana Chamber of Commerce certainly seems to be a little more business friendly than the city of Tucson. And looking like Mr. Steitler is choosing not to continue to invest in downtown Tucson and instead moving to downtown Marana. When we come back after the break, though, we're going to bring in a pair of brothers who are investing in the city of Tucson. We're going to bring you Arnaldo and Carlos Silva, owners of La Botana. They've just opened up a new location on Wetmore. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined live in the KVOI studios by a pair of brothers noted for opening one of Tucson's most celebrated Mexican restaurants, La Botana. Welcome to the KVOI studios, Arnaldo and Carlos Silva. Good morning, guys. Hey, thanks so much for coming on Jump in Tucson over here. I'm a big fan of your restaurant. Break it down to me, Carlos. How'd you guys get your start in the restaurant business?
Well, I started in the restaurant business, Carlos here. It's what was called Taco Bran. My brother, being military, when he came back from the Iraqi war, he wanted to kind of see what was going on with us. And Tom, my ex-partner now, was trying to get out of the restaurant business. So we took over. And me and my brother talked about a new concept, and that's how La Botana came up.
And what year did La Botana open up?
It's been 15 years now that we've been going hard. You know, obviously we've had issues like everybody with COVID. You know, it was a scary moment for all restaurateurs here in Tucson, but it's been 15 years going.
That's amazing. You know, we've had so many restaurateurs on recently that have had these long runs, like a decade or more. And I continue to say, if you make it more than a decade in the restaurant business, your chef coat should be hanging up in the Tucson Restaurant Hall of Fame from the rafters over there. Like, you have done something right.
Right.
What do you think is the key to the success of La Botana here?
Well, I believe consistency is one of the key-ish, key parts. Service has to be consistent as well. Created a nice ambiance for our guests and just make sure we're consistent with all those three things.
And how did you get your start in the restaurant business?
I was a server, like he was saying, at this old place. I was serving there. I did my military service, still in the military, but did a tour, came back, found the opportunity that I couldn't say no. And so I had no idea about restaurant services or food or anything. My brother's the chef, so I told him, okay, we'll partner up. I'll do the admin part. You'll do the back in the kitchen part. So that's when I said, okay, well, let's do it. We partnered up in 2009.
I think so many successful restaurant concepts come from servers, bartenders, line cooks, people that grew up in the industry, right? When you've worked at the absolute ground floor, you learn how to manage a little bit different, right? A little more empathy for your staff members, particularly when you've done that job before, no?
Right. Well, now, you know, till this day, you'll find me back there washing dishes once in a while. You know, I got to go back to the roots where it all started. You know, that's how we, and not that I didn't, I got a big opportunity to start in the line kitchen, you know, but, you know, dishwashing is probably the one of the hardest, you know, to be there, especially when you're a busy restaurant like yours.
Oh, I always say that the dishwasher is truly the heart of the kitchen. When you think of that cyclical flow of plates and silverware and napkins and them, you know, being cleaned and sanitized and working their way to the chefs, if you cut off that flow of clean dishes, the entire kitchen stops right. in an instant, correct. Right? It goes down quick as well.
It does.
There isn't a more important position in that restaurant than the dishwashers, because when you do 1,000 covers a night, well, you can't have 1,000 plates and 1,000 glasses. Like, you need to rotate through those and wash and sanitize those. Right. And if that cyclical flow stops, you know, that heartbeat of the kitchen stops as well, too.
Oh, and talking about that, you know, we do have a big promo, 2-for-1 margaritas, and we have a jumbo 32-ounce glass. So it takes a lot of space in there, you know, and we have to be real careful. So, you know, it's always a critical. We're always looking at that and say, hey, we're running out of glass. Let's go. So.
Yeah. No, you guys have had a strong reputation for a service industry hangout as well, too. I know a lot of my staff members have enjoyed La Botana over the years, you know, on some of those large, you know, near gallon size margaritas over there. I think you guys have some of the biggest margaritas in town. I mean, that thing's got like an undertow to it, I think, right? You could park a jet ski in that thing.
We do. We have our biggest promo right now is the 2-for-1 grande drinks. So we have the margaritas. But with this move, we added the cazuela, which is a paloma. We have the sangria, and we also have the, the margarita?
Mojito.
So we have those big glasses, like my brother was saying, big drinks. And we definitely see a lot of uniforms there when we have our happy hour and all that good stuff.
Of course, yeah. My crew has certainly been known to imbibe on more than one occasion over at La Botana. And of course, geographically speaking, we're not too terribly far apart. But your first location that you guys opened up was at 3200 North 1st Avenue, correct?
Correct.
Let's talk about that 1st and Wetmore location a little bit.
You know, it was a good location. That's when we opened the first restaurant, when I was with Tom Palmares, my ex-partner, Taco Braun. And, you know, the location was great at the time, and slowly but surely with the years coming, you know, everything that's been happening in Tucson started becoming a kind of real bad location, but it started going slowly but surely, started going, the neighborhood started getting rough.
No, we're in the tree of trust over here on Jump in Tucson, you know, but I've said on the show before that maybe 1st and Fort Lowell might be becoming the new Grant and Alvernon. This happens to be now one of the toughest corners in Tucson, quite frankly, no?
It's pretty tough. And then with these abandoned buildings and smoke shops opening up around town, I think, especially in that area, it's definitely concerning. And we've had, you know, numerous meetings with police departments, the city of Tucson, to help out. You know, we want to be part of the solution. So it's just a matter of getting it fixed, but it's going to take time and obviously other things.
What is it about 1st and Fort Lowell area that seemingly has attracted, you know, this level of homeless community and transients? Like, why that geographic location? For someone that was there for 13 and a half, 14 years, like, what do you think?
I think the area wasn't taken care of, you know, maybe from, again, the city or police department. I don't know. It's probably, I mean, they have other things to do maybe, And it was just mainly homeless people, maybe not doing any type of crime or anything, just gathering there. So we've had numerous, when we were there at first in Fort Lowe, we had numerous incidents where we would call and they would respond maybe, you know, 10 hours later because there was nothing and nothing to life-threatening. So, you know, and I understand that. I mean, they got to go take care of the serious stuff. But at the same time, it would deteriorate our guests. You know, they would probably just go there, come back and go to another restaurant because of the area, how it was.
No, without a doubt. I sometimes co-host this show with Josh Jacobson from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. And Josh sort of calls this the crime tax, right? The cost that the businesses need to bear to take care of things that perhaps our municipal government isn't doing right now.
Correct, correct. I mean, not to get political, but yes, it's something that needs to be fixed because we were lucky enough to move maybe like 3 minutes away to First and Wetmore now in our new location. So we don't see that much traffic there, but there's definitely a lot of businesses around there that pay taxes and take care of their customers as well and have employees and employ a lot of Tucson citizens that definitely need to be taken care of.
Without a doubt. And so you guys recently moved. I believe it was April of 24 that you guys opened up. It's 565 East Wetmore, right? Is the correct. New La Botana space. Correct. For those listeners keeping track, that used to be the Applebee's, correct?
Yes. That's the place that we used to go, you know, after work.
Right. That was your service industry hangout over there for some imbibing?
It was close. You know, it's close by. You always want to look for places that are close by. And, you know, even though it was corporate, but we knew a lot of the staff. The staff working there was from Tucson, so, you know, we definitely went there for happy hour for sure.
Of course, of course. And that space, interestingly, was cut up into two spaces. We're seeing this happen over and over again, that these legacy restaurants, even some of the ones like that I operate, right, are almost too large. Mm-hmm. These 7, 8, 9,000 square foot dinosaurs, for lack of a better definition, no longer work as well economically in the labor market that we have today. And so that Applebee's location was split into two separate locations. You've got a neighbor in that building, no?
Correct. I think Church's Chicken is there. Well, I don't think I know Church's Chicken is there. And, you know, I think we did a great job for people that haven't been and visited us there. You know, I think a lot of our customers, you know, that followed us, we appreciate them. And they look at the location, they say, like, wow, you guys did a transformation. Everybody knew that Applebee's. So they look at the location now, they're like, wow, this doesn't even look like, you know, you can't even think. I think we did a great job there.
Now, there's some big changes coming up in that shopping center as well, too. I think the Office Depot is moving out in some capacity. Like, any idea what's going on over there?
Yeah, we have Office Depot, and there's still a couple more businesses that are about to close, but they're going to, Walmart's going to be a super Walmart.
Okay.
So it'll expand all the way kind of close to Best Buy, so it'll be just them two in that area. So, yeah, we're excited. It's going to be definitely a lot of construction and repairs and a movement going on there. And then you got the First and, I believe, from River to Grant construction going on. There's going to be a lot of, definitely a lot of construction going on around that area.
Do you think the Super Walmart hurts or helps the restaurant?
I believe it'll help, definitely help. It'll bring a lot of traffic, you know, just compared to the other little small shops that were there. And then, you know, Walmart also brings security, so they have their own staff, and that'll be another plus for the plaza because we will be they will be watching.
No, without a doubt. I think that that's got to be a better lighted and more secure corner right now in that area of First and Wetmore, just a little west of First Avenue, right? It's got to be more secure than the First and Fort Lowe location.
For sure, for sure. And then the Larson Baker Group, which is operates the plaza, has security there. So it's definitely a lot more eyes on the plaza.
And safer,
like I said,
yeah, safer,
a lot
yeah.
safer. And there's a lot of less traffic of the community, of the homeless community.
What do you think is going to happen to your old building over there? It looks like the wall's been torn down. Like, I mean, this thing is looking not so great these days.
Yes.
More than anything, I think she did that because of people, and that would happen to us as we were there. People would come into our patio, sleep there, and do their business there. And here comes our staff in the morning. We have to clean everything up, trash, and, you know, their droppings and everything. I mean, it was just, if all our customers or everybody in Tucson knew what we would go through every morning, they'd be like, wow, these guys really want this business to work, because we had to go through that every single morning. And, you know, it's a shame.
That is a shame. Well, let's end on that note and take a quick break over here. You're listening to Arnaldo and Carlos Silva, owners of La Botana. We got a couple more segments coming up about the challenges of running a restaurant in the city of Tucson. You're listening to Grant Kruger, Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Every weekday, 9 to 10 a.m., we're bringing you all kinds of great local news stories over here. On Mondays and Fridays, you get Dr. Ed Ackerley bringing you business success stories and, of course, wondrous stories about the great things that are happening at the University of Arizona. On Tuesday, you've got General Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council bringing the engagement hour. On Wednesday, you got yours truly over here, Grant Kruger. We're talking all things local restaurants and the intersection of restaurants and politics. And on Thursdays, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance bringing you all kinds of awesome things going down in the 520. Speaking of awesome things, we've got another couple segments over here with brothers Arnaldo and Carlos Silva, owners of La Botana. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So you guys had just opened up a new location on Wetmore, 565 East Wetmore. That's First in Wetmore, in that Walmart shopping center over there in the old Applebee's. Give me some challenges of opening up, taking your brand and having to pack up everything you own and start from scratch again.
Well, it definitely was a challenge, especially because we are, as you're being a business that it is in business, you don't want to, you want to, I guess, coordinate everything right so you can be open the fastest as possible, especially when your customers are asking you, when are you going to open? How's it going to go? And you know, it becomes kind of a stressful, you know, change, a stressful move, even though we're three lights down, four lights down. But, you know, it was tough. We were able to organize it, thank God. And I do want to mention, you know, we're super blessed to still continue a business here in Tucson. We were able to close on a Saturday, closed for that week, and opened that next Wednesday. So it was a real quick move for us.
So like a 5-day turnaround, essentially? You went from closing one to opening the other? That's insane.
Well, I want to say we closed Saturday and took that week.
Okay.
And then we opened the next Tuesday.
Yeah, so like a 10, 11-day.
Correct.
Which still is pretty fast if you think about it.
It was, especially organizing. You come to a new space. I'm sure you're used to this, Grant, when you have a new space, new kitchen. Hey, this used to be over here. Now it's over here. That was a big challenge for us.
It's a huge challenge. And I think it's something that people forget so much is the muscle memory that, say, like your bartenders have when they can reach down and grab that bottle of Captain Morgan's without even looking at it and never break eye contact with you and just make that drink. That same skill set has to exist in the back of house, right? Correct. To know when to grab a pinch of cotija to put in, where exactly that's located on the line. It's called mise en place, right, in French, and that's sort of your you know, setup on the line. And even minor changes to that end up having a ripple effect that affect your production quite a bit.
Oh yeah, it was definitely challenging, and we appreciate our kitchen staff. You know, they're the hardest working that I think, you know, in the industry. But it was those first 2 months, and then you know what happens when you open a new restaurant location. Everybody wants to come and look to see what's going on. How did it turn out? So, you know, unfortunate. It was definitely a good turnout, but the people that came in at the end were the people that suffered the most because we had lines of, you know, hour waits. You
of
know,
course, was, first come, first serve, you know? I mean, everyone wants the macabre of seeing the new, latest, greatest thing. And while certainly it's a blessing and you want to hear the cash registers ring, you also want to process people in an efficient and timely manner. And when someone gets served first and someone gets served last, like it can be a wait and a challenge to go to a new, exciting restaurant like yours.
Yeah, we now have we've added a reservation link on our website. So now it's a lot easier. You can go to either Yelp, Google, or our website, and you can make reservations. It's easier now, obviously, with like my brother was saying at the beginning, it was kind of chaos. But then we, with all the years of experience, it was a little smoother than we thought. And so now with the reservations, it's easier for us to organize. Okay. Now our waiting is a lot less, and we'll have days obviously that self-seated, you know, and then obviously during the weekends is mainly when when we recommend reservations or any time. If it's a big party, definitely get a reservation. But yes, the transition was smoother than I thought it would be. So I thought it was going to be more challenging. And then creating that ambiance, because a lot of people were telling us, oh, you got to bring that patio that you had.
Sure, a lot of character there on that outside
you
patio
bring
over there, Arnaldo.
Over here. So yeah. I think we did a good job.
So, Carlos, you manage the back of house over here. And I'd say over the last few years, the biggest struggle in the restaurant industry has been staffing, particularly in the back of house. Were you able to retain all your staff members, or did you have to hire even more?
We did hire more. We did bring our staff from the First Avenue location, but we knew we were going to have to hire more because we knew it was going to, the way the location was turning out, we're like, this is going to be a great, amazing location for the city of Tucson that supports us, you know, and they come. And we knew we were going to have to hire more. And it has been challenging. You know, it's always in the restaurant business going to be challenging. There's a lot of turnaround. But we have great staff right now, and we appreciate them a lot.
No, restaurant opening is a real grind. I lose about 20 pounds, like, every time we open up a restaurant, like, just from the stress of, like, the 100-hour yeah. work weeks. And if you see me, I know this is radio, and I can't afford to lose 20 pounds over here. So, like, it's a real grind to open up a new location. And you guys have done this before. We've had other locations of La Botana, right? I remember, like, at Grant and Craycroft area, you guys had a location down there for a while?
Correct. We opened that one in 2018, right before, 2 years before the pandemic, obviously. And then we opened also another one near Phoenix in a town called Fountain Hills. And so we are definitely doing better and better every year. But obviously, pandemic hit, and we all know what happened. And when we opened up, tried to open up again, we couldn't get staff it up. So I always say we used to have three and COVID took two and we only have one now. But we're definitely, like I said, and my brother said, we're definitely blessed to have that location and just giving that experience to all those people from Tucson or not from Tucson that come and visit us. And we're definitely excited and blessed.
I think it would be quite the challenge to have businesses in two cities like Tucson and Phoenix, like that commute going back and forth, you know, 120-mile drive of just windshield time to check on your two restaurants over there. Had to be a real grind, huh?
I ended up moving over there and you know, I told my brother, I'll take the challenge. I'll go for 6 months. Ended up staying 2 years there. Because we went to a city that we didn't know, smaller city, Fountain Hills. I don't know if people know where it's at, but behind Scottsdale there.
It's kind of like the Green Valley of Phoenix, perhaps, maybe to use an analogy for our listeners over there. Yeah. So what a change to go from an urban location at first in Fort Lowell to essentially the Green Valley of Phoenix.
Well, it was a beautiful location, but it depended a lot on the snowbirds. We love snowbirds, by the way. We appreciate their business when they come to Tucson. They help us a lot. But not knowing that location, you know, come Mother's Day, it was the ghost town. So it was hard to staff people there because it's a older community. So it was hard. So my 6 months turned into 2 years quick.
I can imagine you were doing a lot of back of house work over there yourself,
yeah.
huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And thank God I love that. You know, if not, it would be the challenge. Everybody asked me, I want to open a restaurant. I'm like, you better love the kitchen, because if not, do not get into this business.
Arnold, any advice for those listeners out there thinking of opening their own restaurant?
Yeah, I've had a couple of calls as well. Definitely have a lot of patience. Stay consistent, and you got to be persistent. You got to stay. If it's your dream, you got to go for it, and you can't just think that you're going to make it in a year or two. You got to grind.
Without a doubt, but 15 years is nothing to shake a stick at over here. It's pretty amazing. And to think after 15, you're in this spiffy new location that's all jazzed up. How did you recapture that feeling and that ambiance that the patio had on the original La Botana? How did that translate over to an Applebee's location? How do you have to give it that life and character, that authentic Sonoran flavor?
Well, I think we had I'll give this credit to my brother. He said he loves plants. So my dad loved plants too. So
yeah, I'll give the credit to my dad.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we got to keep it green. He said we got to keep it green. We got to keep it colorful. So I think that's definitely what we got going on over there.
It's tough to give flavor to like a chain restaurant like that. By its nature, you know, an Applebee's would have been filled with a bank of microwaves and a soulless sort of platform over here with the same menu in Bangor, Maine as they're bringing to Tucson, Arizona. And you guys are bringing authentic Sonoran flavor over here.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a lot of Sonoran, but, you know, we have family members all across the country in Mexico, so I tell my brother, you know what? We need to call our aunt that lives in Guadalajara and ask her, because I remember that recipe with, you know, that good barbacoa, that good birria, what was on there. So the aunt that lives in Guaymas with her seafood and just...
Of course, of the best shrimp in the all of North America, right?
Oh, yeah. So talking to the family was super important for us. And, you know, the Mexican culture, as the weekend comes... You know, it's about eating and eating and eating, and there's always food on the table, you know, for us. So that was important. That's kind of what we wanted to bring to our menu.
No, amazing. And I think you guys have done it. Like, it's a tremendous amount of success for La Botana. I know my staff loves it. I've heard raves about the new place over here. Everyone's got to go check out the new La Botana on Wetmore. That's 565 East Wetmore Road. Again, in that same plaza where that Walmart is and where Office Depot used to be. I guess where Super Walmart is going to be. When we come back after the break, we're going to break down some of these brothers' other favorite local, both Mexican and locally owned Tucson restaurants. We got one more segment with the Silver Brothers from La Botana coming up after the break. You're listening to 1030 AM The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. We've got one final segment with Arnaldo and Carlos Silva, owners of La Botana. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, so there's a lot of Mexican restaurants in Tucson, right? And yes. One of the toughest parts, I think, about the business on the Mexican side of things are customers saying, this was good and all, but I can go get tacos for a peso somewhere on the south side, right? I'm sure you hear complaints like that. Like, what's your counter argument to that?
Well, we have a lot of good friends that own Mexican restaurants. We have a group that we chat and help out each other, you know. And so we go visit to other Mexican restaurants. We go visit, you know, in the morning we go eat some fish tacos, or we go to carretas as well, the street tacos. We're definitely supportive of everybody in town because, again, we know how it is to be a small business.
So one of the other complaints always that comes up on the Mexican restaurant side is this is not authentic, right? The word authentic is thrown around so regularly. And as you guys have lived in Mexico, I lived in Mexico as well too, had a restaurant down there the better portion of a decade, right? Like, describe to me what is authentic Sonoran food.
We try to bring, you know, spices. We still go to Mexico a lot. My mom lives there still. I'm coming to Tucson soon, but... we go and bring a lot of our spices over there. You know, we notice that the oregano, something as simple as oregano, is totally different when it's, you know, brought from Mexico. It gives it that flavor for some reason. And, you know, so a lot of our dry chilies, things that we can bring from Mexico, and we're so close, Hermosillo so close to us, that, and we go visit our mom a lot. So I think that kind of gives us... You know, we have customers say, hey, I did this birria at my house and it didn't taste the same. And we even give them the ingredients. We're real nice there at the restaurant. You know, like, what do you put in your, you know, birria? Oh, we put this, and this, you know.
Oh, no, of course. We share recipes, too. Quite frankly, like, the execution of the recipe is far more important than the actual list of ingredients. And so, to me, there's no secret sauce or secret ingredient in these things. If you want to know what's in our dishes, happy to share it with you. But the chance of customers replicating it themselves in a home kitchen on a smaller scale, it's not very likely, right?
It's going to be real hard. And, you know, even the way you stir the, you know, the meat when you're doing... It gives it that flavor, you know, the way you touch it or talk to it. You know, a lot of us chefs have different, you know, types of techniques that we use. So, yeah.
I love it. You're talking to the meat over there at La Botana. Hey, talking local restaurants over here. Arnaldo, like, give me a couple of your local favorites. You get a rare day off work over here. Where are you going?
Right. Well, we like to visit Shogun on First and, River and Oracle. That's where we love to go and visit sushi, our friends over there. It's definitely a great sushi. And again, it has a little Mexican flavor on it. So I recommend that one.
As do many sushi chefs over here. Right. I'm always like, hey, wait a minute. You're not Japanese. You're Mexican. I see through the facade here.
We went this Saturday. We went to Zio Pepe. Definitely Italian-Mexican. Love the food there. And Wildflower. We love to visit Wildflower as well. So
also a big winner over there. I mean, they've got, yeah, you know, almost 27 or 28 years in Tucson. Yeah. You want to talk Hall of Fame. That's like a lifetime achievement award over there for Wildflower from the Fox Restaurant Corporation. Mm-hmm. So certainly a winner. Carlos, you got any favorites over here for
me,
listener?
Myself, well, you know, having a Mexican restaurant, we do go support local Mexican restaurants, but I do love sushi, so Shogun is one of my favorites. And then Carnitas La Yoka, for sure, on South 6 is definitely a favorite. Ruben is a good friend of ours, and we support his business. He probably doesn't need the support. He's super busy over there. Thank God. You know, he's a real cool guy, and I love Carnitas. So Carnitas La Yoka is one of my favorites.
No, those are all great, great local choices over here. And it's one of my favorite things about local restaurateurs over here is how supportive we all are of each other, right? Mm-hmm. We may be, you know, in some way, shape, or form, competition on the playing field, but behind the scenes, we're all brothers and sisters in arms in the restaurant business. And it's one of the things I love to share here on Jump in Tucson are the stories, such as you guys, that we can come together and, you know, break some bread and talk about the challenges that it is to operate a local restaurant here in the 520. You guys not only have been around for 15 years, but you've opened up other stores, right? You've closed stores before. You've just opened up a brand new, awesome location. It seems to be doing great. I mean, you've got lines out the door. You need reservations these days, right, Arnold?
Oh, yeah. We have definitely great specials going on. We have the 2-for-1, like I said, Grande Margaritas, Cazuelas, Palomas, Sangrias. We have our Taco Tuesday. We have our lunch specials, which is amazing lunch special, Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 p.m. and our happy hour. Happy hours.
We have happy hours, plural. What is the hora feliz over here at La Botana?
Hora feliz, half off on appetizers, half off on some drinks. So definitely you can get quite a tasting there for an inexpensive price.
So I was at the top of the hour, I was talking about things you don't like finding on your check. And we were talking about credit card fees suddenly making their way onto the checks. And I'm seeing it in a lot of local restaurants. Do you guys have an opinion on that one over there? Like,
well, we had to implement it. We were getting by the credit card companies, all these rewards that people get when they pay with their credit cards. The small businesses pay for it.
Without a doubt.
We have to pay for it, yeah.
I found that, you know, on the real sneaky part on the credit card, have you seen the QR codes that you can pay wirelessly from your phone? Mm-hmm. That counts as a non-qualified swipe, which means that it falls for a much higher rate than a traditional dipped credit card processing. Yeah. And I'm seeing rates right now in my own restaurant of 3.59% for those processes that happen, you know, over the internet in some capacity. Like an outrageous rate.
We definitely recommend cash or debit payments. I mean, that makes everybody's life easier. And it saves the guests some money.
No, without a doubt. It presents yet another challenge for the restaurateurs. We've had a tough couple years. You're seeing the rising labor cost, right? Minimum wage, of course, ticked back up again in both the state of Arizona and in the city of Tucson, even higher by 30 cents. We're now at $15 an hour, right? And $12 an hour for the server wage there in the city of Tucson. We've had a tremendous increase in cost of goods sold. I mean, don't even get me started on eggs. We could pretty much do an entire show on just what, you know, the rise of a cost of a carton of eggs over here. And the credit card processing fees have never been higher for the operator as well. All big, big challenges.
Unfortunately, because we obviously eat out and we go buy groceries and we're the ones paying for it. You know, it's definitely us.
It's definitely going to get more expensive for sure. That's what we know. That's why we always want to encourage people, visit us in happy hour. Don't spend a lot. Come for our 2-for-1 drinks. You know, come for our lunch special. It's a great, great, great pricing there.
Without a doubt. One more time, where is La Botana located? Give us the website, breakdown, where to find you, where to call.
LaBotanaTacos.com. We have our social medias also, La Botana Tacos on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We also are located at 565 East Wetmore Road. If you want to give us a call, 520-777-8801, but definitely our website. We have our menus there. You can check us out. It's at labotanatacos.com.
Well, thank you guys very much for spending your Wednesday morning with us here on Jump In Tucson. Carlos, thank you so much. It's been a
thank
real
you,
pleasure.
Appreciate it, Grant.
And thank you, Arnold. It's been a pleasure to have a pair of brothers over here. We're all brothers in arms in the restaurant business, but these brothers have really put it together. 15 years in business for Arnold and Carlos Silva at La Botana. They're not just brothers, they're still friends. So go pay them a visit. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us on Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.